Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Hey friends, and welcome to this holiday episode of Now Hear This, Canby. I am your host, James Walton. Let's read the news. Oregon is easing statewide coronavirus restrictions placed on school districts with a goal of seeing more students return to in-person instruction by February, the governor announced Wednesday, saying her goal was to, quote, return as many Oregon students to the classroom as safely as possible in the new year. Governor Kate Brown is directing state departments to implement several new policy initiatives that would put more school districts on track to return to in-person instruction, especially for elementary students, by February 15th, 2021. The greatest gift we can give to Oregon's children this holiday season is to redouble our efforts to act responsibly and reduce the spread of COVID-19 in our communities, Brown said. Our students' learning, resilience, and future well-being depend on all of us. The governor noted in a letter to the directors that February 15th is the goal that's within reach for school districts with the help of new federal and state resources, and, quote, if communities continue to work together to stop the spread of COVID-19 over the next several weeks. Brown also announced that Oregon school metrics, the measures of local community spread that guide when schools may reopen for in-person instruction, will be advisory rather than mandatory effective January 1st. Moving forward, decisions to resume in-person instruction must be made locally, district by district, school by school, the governor's office said in a release, urging that teachers, school staff, parents, and students should be engaged with school boards and administrators in this decision-making process. Many states, including Washington, have advisory metrics. This does not mean schools can resume in-person instruction without regard for COVID-19 spread in the community, but instead should carefully consider the metrics in their local context, the needs of the students and families, and readiness to implement health and safety protocols, Brown said. As we move into a new year, we must all rise to the challenges that COVID-19 presents, and prioritizing our children is most urgent. If the coronavirus continues to spread at the rates it has earlier this month, the governor warned that 90% of Oregon students may be forced to spend the remainder of their school year locked out from their classrooms and the youth activities where they best learn, grow, and find connection, safety, and support. A man was pulled from the Willamette River Sunday afternoon, alive, after Clackamas County authorities said he intentionally drove off the dock of the defunct Oregon City Marina on Highway 99E north of Canby. The Clackamas County Water Rescue Consortium was activated when a report came in about a submerged truck in the river in the Kanema area, police said. Numerous units reported to the scene of the emergency, causing more than the usual traffic backups along 99E. The sheriff's office also said the driver of the pickup truck had driven off the dock in an apparent altered mental state. It has not been determined if it was due to drugs, alcohol, or other reasons, the sheriff's office said in a tweet. The man was rescued and later hospitalized. Authorities were initially uncertain if anyone else was in the truck due to inconsistent statements by the driver. Divers worked with a tow truck and a crane to recover the truck and eventually confirmed there had been no passengers. The sheriff's office said the criminal investigation will be handled by the Oregon State Police since the truck came off the state highway. For photos, you can find the story on our website at canbefirst.com. An ugly scene at the Oregon State Capitol in Salem on Monday as hundreds of demonstrators protesting the state's coronavirus restrictions traded pepper spray with police officers in an attempt to force their way into the building. The Capitol building, while technically in session for lawmakers to debate a proposed $800 million pandemic relief package and other measures related to COVID-19, was largely empty, as many legislators and staff members participated virtually in meetings that streamed live on the state's website. Capitol staff had also set up screens outside for visitors to view the proceedings. The Capitol has been closed to the public for in-person attendance of sessions since March, and Oregon State troopers and Salem police officers attempted to bar entry to the protesters, some of whom bore assault weapons and other military-style gear, while others carried American flags or banners supporting President Donald Trump. Troopers were sprayed with some kind of chemical agent on two different occasions after protesters entered the building around 8:30 a.m., OSP later reported. State police declared the protest an unlawful assembly, and officers returned fire with inert pepper balls. Protesters shouted their objections to Kate Brown's coronavirus restrictions and their impact on businesses and schools. "Arrest Kate Brown," the crowd chanted at one point. One person carried a sign that read, "Politicians are the virus. Revolution is the cure." After approximately 2 hours, Salem and state police started to push the crowd out of the building when a man who was later identified as 41-year-old Ryan Lyles allegedly used bear spray against police officers. Lyles was taken into custody and lodged at the Marion County Jail on multiple charges, including trespassing and assaulting a police officer. Two others, Ronald Van Vlack, 75, and Jerry Dyerson, 53, were also arrested around this time and charged with criminal trespass and disorderly conduct. At about 1:30 p.m., demonstrators again attempted to gain entry to the Capitol building by breaking glass in the two west-facing doors. One of the men involved, 35-year-old Jeremiah Pruitt, was arrested for criminal trespass and disorderly conduct. Another 40-year-old Jeremy Roberts was identified as a person that attempted to gain access through the west doors and was allegedly involved in an assault on two journalists, including OPB reporter Sergio Olmos. The Oregon State Police encourage people to exercise their First Amendment rights, but it must be done lawfully, OSP said in the statement. Please discontinue the acts of vandalism or destruction of property. If you commit a crime, you will be subject to arrest. Images of the demonstrators clashing with police at the doors of the state capitol made national news and was quickly picked up and shared by dozens of outlets throughout Monday. While chaos reigned on the streets and lawns surrounding the Oregon State Capitol on Monday, the day's proceedings moved along uninterrupted and, more or less, in the usual manner. The Oregon legislature met for its third and final special session of 2020, passing four bills that state leaders said would address urgent issues facing Oregonians whose lives have been impacted by the ongoing coronavirus pandemic and the devastating Labor Day wildfires. The legislation will keep people in their homes, support independent restaurants that are barely hanging on, and dedicate ongoing funding for critical pandemic-related programs, House Speaker Tina Kotek said in a press release. State legislatures showed up and did their jobs to help Oregonians who were facing tremendous risk in the month ahead because of some critical year-end deadlines, she continued, while expressing frustration that lawmakers hadn't accomplished more in the one-day session, including of foreclosure protections that expire next week. Legislation headed to the governor's desk after Monday's session include House Bill 4401, which ensures renters across the state cannot be evicted through June 30, 2021 if they can't pay their rents due to impacts of COVID-19, while also establishing a $150 million fund to cover overdue rent payments, which will help ensure landlords have a way to recover payments they were counting on. Recent data from the National Council of State Housing Agencies estimates that anywhere from 27,700 to 56,100 Oregon households would have been at risk of eviction on January 1st without the extension of the eviction moratorium statewide. Also passed was Senate Bill 1801, which allows restaurants and bars temporarily to sell and deliver mixed drinks to go if the mixed drink is sold in a sealed container. The bill caps fees that third-party delivery providers can issue at 15%. Many independent restaurants are currently hanging on by a thread, Kotek said, and this support for small businesses comes at a critical time as the pandemic continues and restaurants have had in-person dining disrupted. Finally, Senate Bill 5731 allocated $600 million from the Federal CARES Act funding to critical pandemic-related programs that will support Oregonians in the first few months of 2021, as well as provide more support for Oregonians impacted by the Labor Day wildfires. It has been just over a week since the new COVID-19 vaccine began arriving in Oregon, and the state reports that more than 7,200 have received their first dose. Those numbers include 735 Clackamas County residents, as well as 4,475 frontline healthcare workers who received the first in a two-dose series last week, according to the Oregon Health Authority. Starting Monday, long-term care residents, who are known to be more at risk for serious complications, and staff at those facilities began receiving COVID-19 vaccinations under a statewide rollout plan that prioritizes those disproportionately impacted by the pandemic. Older adults and people with underlying health conditions are more likely to suffer life-threatening health consequences if they contract the virus, OHA says, and those risks are elevated for those who live in large group settings. For these reasons, more than half of Oregon's initial allotment of immunizations, an estimated 22,425 vaccine doses, has been earmarked for nursing facilities. The state's plan calls for participating pharmacies, Consensus Healthcare, CVS, and Walgreens to set up on-site vaccination clinics at long-term care facilities, as well as smaller congregate care settings. We are full of hope that this vaccination program will reduce the suffering and hardship experienced by long-term care residents, staff, and their families, said Faribors Pakshresht, director of the Oregon Department of Human Services. While we are pleased with the speed at which the vaccination program is rolling out, it will take some time to reach all facilities. Officials have also set up an online dashboard where the public can track the rollout of the state's immunization program statewide and within counties. Right now, there's not enough vaccine to immunize everyone in the United States against COVID-19, OHA said in a press release this week. Currently, the only people prioritized to receive the vaccine are healthcare workers and people who live or work in long-term care facilities, such as skilled nursing facilities. Governor Kate Brown held a press conference Tuesday to provide the latest on the vaccine rollout and encourage Oregonians to continue to do their part to protect themselves and others from the virus. Thanks to the decisions the majority of Oregonians continue to make, we are slowing the spread of COVID-19, Governor Brown said. And while our case counts are still up, we are avoiding many worst-case scenarios. As she did before the Thanksgiving holiday last month, Brown urged residents to refrain from travel and large gatherings for Christmas and New Year's.
Stay connected to what matters most this holiday season with unlimited high-speed internet from DirectLink. While the holidays may look different for many of us this year, you can always count on DirectLink's reliable network to keep your video calls, Snapchat, stories, and photos crystal clear. DirectLink is thankful for all of their amazing members this holiday season and is proud to be your local internet, video, and voice provider for over 116 years. For more information, visit directlink.coop. And from all of us here at Now Hear This Candy and our friends at DirectLink, stay safe, stay healthy, stay connected, and have a very happy holiday season.
Okay, well, it is Christmas Day in Canby, a very odd Christmas to be sure, but we're out here at Canby Foursquare Church for one of the few events of the holiday season that is happening this year. And I'm here with Pastor Mark Smith of the church. Hi, Pastor.
Hi, how are you, Tyler? And it's good to see you.
He's working tonight. He's waving people through. He looks just like a sight of Christmas. Tell folks what you're wearing.
Well,
you're on the red carpet. Who are you wearing there, Mark?
Right, yeah. I'm wearing the great designer Target.
Okay.
A $48 suit that has Santa Claus and Santa faces all over it. Came with this free tie.
Wow.
$48.
You're kidding me. Wow.
Yeah, you think it looks like a million, huh?
Yeah, I do.
Right?
Custom tailored, yeah, absolutely.
Custom tailored by rolling up the bottom.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Merry Christmas.
Tell us about what you guys are doing tonight and why you felt it was important to still bring Christmas in some way to the people of Gambie.
Yeah, you know, this is just a fun way to just love on people, to tell the story, the nativity scene of Luke chapter 1 through 2, and to come out and just to kind of have a theological presence of the biblical narrative about Jesus coming to this earth, and then also just mixing it up with fun locals like the police and the fire department, and having a local Santa Claus that's been doing Santa Claus for years out there. And
yeah, like 100 years, I think.
he's been out here for a while, and it's fun. There's families out here, and it's just a lot of fun just to give something to the city of Canby.
Yeah, yeah. Got these beautiful paintings that, like you said, tell the story in verses from Scripture.
Right.
And you would think that you kind of start out with that, and you would think that people would sort of blow by them and get to the
lights.
And the music and the candy canes and the hot cocoa and Santa. But that's not what's happening. People are really taking their time and kind of absorbing. That's got to make you feel good.
I have observed that. You know, the line is slow, not because people are running to the candy canes and because people are trying to say hi to Santa, but people are really stopping and just reading the verse and the wise men come from the east and they worship Jesus. And the ending of it is Simeon, where Simeon looks upon Jesus Christ and knows that a prophecy has been fulfilled of the Savior coming to the world. And people are really stopping and reading and contemplating that. You're right. It's a unique observation, and it's exciting. That does feel good as a pastor.
Yeah, yeah. And especially this event, I mean, we've talked about this before, Mark, but it wasn't sort of like, you know, January 2020, you're like, okay, this is what we're going to do for Christmas. You know, this is a great way to do a Christmas event.
Right.
You guys kind of threw this together, like, what can we do? What can work? What will people feel comfortable doing?
Right.
And to see it being as effective has got to feel really good.
Right. And, you know, we ended up doing, on the first shutdown, Merry Christmas.
On the first shutdown.
No. Yeah. Too soon.
Okay.
On the first shutdown, that affected us in many churches because it was Easter, right?
Yeah.
And so we didn't really know what to do, and so
Super Bowl of churches,
right, the Super Bowl of churches. And what we did is we set up, you know, it's more from a liturgical background, a more Catholic or Anglican background, and we just set up the Stations of the Cross. And
it very even similar to this, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was almost this exact setup, and somebody in the community came together and said, "Hey, let's do this." And so we did it, and that was really fun, and it was a special way to celebrate Easter. And now we did a similar version with Christmas, and I think it's just fun. There's so many people coming out and just observing just as Christians in our faith tradition what we believe the meaning of Christmas is.
Absolutely. How you were also a dad with young kids. How are you guys handling this odd, you know, Christmas is one of those other touch point major events for Christianity and for people of faith, but also for parents, right? With kids get so excited, and this is kind of a weird time for them. So how are you guys handling it?
Right, yeah, you know, that's a good question. I get to be out here, and this is the beauty. I get to serve the city of Canby with my family. My wife and my three kids are out here.
Yeah.
They're in the cold. They're wrapped up over there on a blanket, handing out candy canes.
Elf ears.
So we get to be out here serving together, and really for us, you know, we're trying to practice what we preach, and we say that it is better to give than to receive. So we get to be out here serving. We get to see people smile. We get to see people People aren't impressed by Canby Foursquare. People are impressed by the gospel narrative, and that people love them to wave at them and to smile. And so my kids get to be a part of it. So in some ways, would we be out here if it wasn't a quote unquote COVID season? I don't know. We'd probably do something like this, but this is a disguised blessing.
Tell me how you as a pastor kind of find ways to meld obviously the sacred with this story from the Bible that's the real meaning of the season for many, with some of the more fun things. You know, you got Santa at the end of this as well, right?
Yeah, and we took a little bit of heat from some people.
I'm sure.
And that's to be expected. Yeah, yeah. And what we're trying to do is we believe that we're supposed to bless this community. Mm. And so we want to bless them with obviously our meaning of Christmas. And then there's some people that, you know, they love a good Santa during the holiday season. And it's hard to find that right now. And, and those guys are short on work. And so we just thought, hey, if we could bring a Santa out and bless him and his family and bless the community. If people come through and they want to skip the historical piece of Jesus coming, well, that's their right and that's okay. And they can skip right to Santa. But we want to be here to be an offering to the whole community.
Yeah, absolutely. After this, your church is doing a sort of virtual congregational type meeting, right? Christmas from our homes.
We are. So what we did is we came together as a pastoral team. And so we did a bit of filming. Hey guys, Merry Christmas. We did a digital platform and we would usually do a Christmas Eve service. And so we just said, let's do what we can digitally. So that's in the different homes of a few of the pastors that are here. And then Pastor Ron is gonna kind of culminate the evening at 7 o'clock with his live message. Well, it's a pre-recorded. We'll make it live at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be a really good message. And we hope that it blesses people.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like a lot of cars. I don't believe you're keeping count as you are talking to me.
Oh, I am. So that's why I'm going in and out.
Okay.
I got this counter right here.
Oh, you do have a counter
in
hand.
Yeah, I got a counter in hand.
What are we at? We're about an hour in.
Yeah, we're an hour in. How many cars are we at, bud? 113 cars, and we are at 305 people. Hey, Jerry.
That's crazy. That's
great.
Yeah. That's more than you probably would have had if you had a live event.
Right. Yeah. We, certainly our Christmas Eve services, you know, they might not get 303 per service.
Yeah.
And maybe all together we'll do that, but the line's still coming, and we'll stay here and we'll continue to serve people as long as they're here. So
cool. The message of Christmas, the importance of Christmas, is kind of at the end of that year, at the end of any year, it happens kind of the darkest, coldest part of the year, right? Gives us a little bit of hope. That's more needed this year than in a long time.
Right. And I would agree. And the gospel narrative of Scripture is that there's a new dawning, and that it's Christ coming onto the world and not coming up through the world, but coming into the world, and that light coming from heaven and coming into the world. And I think right now people are interested in a bright light. I think people need a light at the end of this 2020 year, and that it's not all done away with, that it's not all a bad year, that good can come out of the mire. And I think what people need right now is hope, and that Jesus is still in control, that Jesus rules and reigns from his throne. And so some of these people will get that, others they're going to get a big old wave, and they're going to get a smile, and they're going to know that we love them and we care about them, we care about their kids, and we want to see good for them.
Love it. Thank you guys for putting this on, for the work that you did, and for bringing that hope to people. Really appreciate it. When folks are listening to this, it'll obviously be a little bit later. Is there a place where they can find maybe
Merry Christmas,
Pastor Ron's message?
Merry Christmas, kids! they can get Pastor Ron's message at canbyfoursquare.com. They can go to our Canby Foursquare Church Facebook page. We always post there. And we also have a Canby Foursquare YouTube channel. So please go there, listen to Pastor Ron's message, like it, share it, subscribe to Canby Foursquare, all that fun stuff.
All right, Pastor Mark Smith, thank you so much.
Tyler,
stay warm.
Yeah.
I don't think that suit is wool lined for Target.
It's not warm. I'm freezing right now.
Yeah, only about another hour. So.
Right, right. Hey, thanks for coming out. It's good to see you. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Santa Claus right over here, all right?
First.
Yeah, get your gifts first, okay? Good to see you. Tell Matt hi. All right. Oh, yeah.
Wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and really we really appreciate your support in the past, and we hope to be able to perform for you again soon.
Thank you so much for following us and staying in touch with us. We know that it's kind of a weird time right now with all of the COVID stuff going on, but we wanted to give you all a quick message to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And thank you so much for supporting the Oregon Trail Pitch Pipers. We really, really look forward to singing for you in person again sometime soon. Thank you.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and may the upcoming year be a joyous one for you.
Yeah, Feliz Navidad, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all that stuff. We miss y'all. Stay safe. See you soon.
Merry Christmas to all and to all. A prosperous new year. Ho, ho, ho.
It has been tough for all of us this year, but we have been getting together on Zoom and still doing some practicing and talking a lot and sharing a lot, and miss singing for all of you people, but we will be back to do that next year. So have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And for me and my friend,
and the rest of the Pitch Pipers, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I hope to see you soon.
I thank God for the group, the Oregon Trail Pitch Pipers, and I wish everybody to have a Merry Christmas and avoid the COVID. Thank you.
Merry Christmas and very Happy New Year, and remember the true reason for this season.
All right, and now we have a special present for all of you online. Please enjoy these recordings of our previous performances, singing some of your favorite Christmas tunes. Thank you, and have a safe and healthy Christmas and New Year's.
Jingle, jingle all the way, dashing through the snow, in one horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way, bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleigh song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride. Soon Miss Fanny Brown was seated by my side. The horse was lean and lank. Misfortune seemed his lot. We got into a drifted bank, and we got outside. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. Oh, one horse open sleigh. Hey! While by my sheep I watch at night, glad tidings brought an angel bright. How great my joy, 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 joy. Praise to the Lord in heaven on high, praise to the Lord in heaven. For nevermore to me be nigh, then shall my heart be filled with joy. How great my joy, 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 joy. Praise to the Lord in heaven on high.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up
with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life. Mm-hmm.
How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap, when out on the roof there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutter and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to the objects below, when what do my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted, and he called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donna and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside on his nose, giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his tame gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." And now it's time for you to all go to bed. I have work to do, and I have to get back at it. So get to sleep, because you know that if you're not asleep when I come to your house, I'll go by, and I'll go to the next house. And then I have to come back when I'm all done. Go to bed. Good night. Merry Christmas.
Season is a wonderful time of year, but it can also be stressful, and 2020 is certainly no exception. If you're feeling a little overloaded, let the Wild Hair Saloon take family meal planning off your plate. Whether the current status allows in-person dining, the masters of takeout have you covered. ask about their family meal deal carryout special, a double portion of chicken fettuccine Alfredo, a huge Caesar salad, big enough to share, but if you don't, we won't blame you. Garlic toast and two kids' meals with cookies for only $25. Plus, their mouth-watering prime rib dinners are available Friday and Saturday nights. Open Monday through Friday, 11 to 8 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 3 to 8. Visit thewildhairsaloon.net or call to order 503-651-4273.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.